Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Who's joining me is Pat, and we're just continuing this talk about the conversation about the tactics that are used in the rules for radicals, because it's what our current leadership, it appears, and those that are seeking leadership is using, and we're finding what's a biblical perspective of that. And welcome to the extra hour.
Yes.
In the context of that, and we're just picking up from where we were. We're talking about in the extra hour about community organizing. What does it have to do with the church? How should we respond? This Saul Alinsky techniques, rules for radicals, that seems like a handbook that's being used. And we're going to find out that reason why it seems so common to what we're seeing happen today are. President actually worked for Saul Alinsky, and even taught Alinsky 101. And so that's what we're seeing. We're actually seeing those practices. But the issue is that the book is dedicated to Lucifer. And so Lucifer is in the front of the book. It talks about dedicating it to Lucifer. A good shout out to Lucifer, who was the first organizer. And it ends with, on the back cover, with the president. President Barack Obama and, well, Barack Obama, it doesn't say president.
Right.
But because he wasn't a president, he was working for him then. But he is now. And Hillary Clinton. And pretty interesting. Those are the two that were running for.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder what happened in that meeting when they sat him down. And so, And so we're looking at Revelation chapter 2 because we're dealing, what spirit are we dealing with? Because we wrestle against spiritual wickedness and not. Flesh and blood, and you know, we talked about all that, and you can catch it in the first hour, because we're having a conversation about what is the God perspective of this. And let me tell you something though, what's happening in America right now is what's been happening in the church. That's exactly what's been happening in the church. It's politics, it's manipulation, it's usurping authority. It's what's been happening in Christian marriages, where you know. The battle between who's going to lead this marriage. It's been happening in families. I mean, it is the spirit. It's a dark spirit. You know, it's set in regards to us the way we look. So we have to find out that's the dark ways. We have to turn to the light ways. And God loves us, and he loves even those that are held captive by this situation and wants them to repent. But he says specifically as he's talking to the church, Jesus, the Son of God, is talking to the church here in the church of Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2. He says, all these good things that are going on with the church. He says, nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate this woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, somebody that hears from God. And it's not a gender. It's the concept of usurped authority. It's not their authority. They just take it and use it. Because you think about it. If you had the authority, you'd just do it. You know why?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But by her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality, into food sacrificed to idols. I've given her time to repent, but she's unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her. And this is people say, well, I'm not committing adultery with her. And what the Word of God says, to be friends with the world is to commit adultery.
Yeah.
It's not sex. It could be, but it's not sex. It's actually following darkness. Does that make sense? And so it's not, you know, adultery with your organizer, you know, sexual adultery. It's actually following their teachings. And so he says right here, he says, so I cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit, who join her organization to organize against. I mean, you got to hear the first segment. I mean, you got first hour talking about how Lucifer did. It says, I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. So what you got to do is find out what God's ways are and don't let somebody tell you what God's ways are. Look in the Word of God and find out what God's ways are, because you can be following her ways because she's telling you she's a prophet. She's telling you what God's ways are. Well, you need to verify what we're saying and verify what everybody says by getting in the Word yourself. Move out of the 97th percentile. Who's not actually walking in the light, regular church attendance, according to George Bino, who's not reading the Word of God or not reading it for the context of shining the light on their lives, and find out who are we following. Then he says, I will strike her children. So she has children. I will strike her children And it's interesting because the spirit of Elijah will talk about it, but I'll strike her children dead. Then all the churches, he's talking to the church.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about prophets in the church. People say they hear from God. He's talking about teachings in the name of the church. And then he says, and then all, when I deal with her, all the churches will know.
Mm-hmm.
This is all within the context of the body of Christ, right?
Right.
Or the church. And then he says, then all the churches will know that I am he who searches the hearts and minds and will repay each one according to their deeds. This is important because as we're studying this handbook of Lucifer, really,
mm-hmm.
it's has to do with hidden motives, evil intentions in people's minds while they're lying on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're doing these manipulated things and things we've been talking about, and we're in the tactics about it. And we're trying to give you a perspective of this,
mm-hmm.
that it matters what's on your heart. It matters what's on your mind. I mean, look at the days of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody was on their heart 24 hours a day to do evil. And he said, it'll be the same as the days of Noah when the Lord returns. So it matters. He judges everybody based on what is a sign of Jezebelic spirit. It's like a sign of a presence of a Jezebelic spirit is somebody who has underlying evil motives who are presenting to you like they're angels of light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is right. Lucifer masquerading as an angel of light.
Right.
No wonder his servants are called servants of righteousness. That's what the word of God says.
Right.
And so, but the thing is why are you doing what you're doing? It matters why you're doing what you're doing. It matters who we're following. We're not telling the world what to do. We're just talking about the church. We need to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to what are we going to do? It matters who we marry, who we connect to, who we follow. And then he says, now I will say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teachings. That's a very powerful statement, because do not hold to her teachings. It makes you think about what Jesus said in John chapter 8 when he says in verse 31, Jesus said very specifically, if you hold to my teachings, so you got a tug of war, you're going to hold to this. You have to understand now, it's Lucifer's teachings, but it's being presented to you by somebody who says they hear from God.
Right.
And in this case, it's by somebody who has a Jezebel spirit. And so are you going to hold to Lucifer's teachings, concepts, and dark secrets? Or are you going to hold to Jesus' teachings? Because Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, he says, if you hold to my teachings, then you're really, I mean, think about that. Yeah, come on. Are you really a Saints fan? You know what I'm saying? I mean, think about it. At some point, you ask the question, because some people are not really.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And in regards to that, Jesus says, this is how I really know whether you're mine or not. Whether you're not if you said a prayer, is do you hold to my teachings? Do you hold to my teachings? That's what he said, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you hold to my teachings, then you'll know the truth. Who's the truth? That's Jesus, right?
Right.
So when you hold to his teaching, Jesus becomes revealed to you, and the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
And he who the truth sets free, who you now know, right?
Right.
Is free indeed. And so you go back here and dealing with this. And this is the book of Revelation. This is New Testament, Old Testament. This is about usurped authority when you hear about Jezebel-type spirit. And there is no Jezebel without an Ahab.
That's
because
right.
Ahab was the one who actually gave, God gave authority to,
mm-hmm.
which he regretted anyway later on. But he did give it to him. And yeah. God expected him to operate in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he regretted the day he said he ever made him king. But he says, now I say to those rest of you, this is in Revelation chapter 2:24, to the church Thyatira, to you who do not hold to, think about it, who do not hold to her teachings and who have not learned rules for radicals, who have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets.
Wow.
You see, what happened was, that Saul Alinsky learned the dark secrets of Satan, and he found out what Lucifer found out, that he could convince a third of the angels. I mean, imagine those angels. Like, you're in heaven, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You're in heaven in the presence of the creator of the universe, who is, he's not, he doesn't love you. He is love.
Yeah.
The radiating love of him. I mean, he loves you, but it's the, he's just, he is love, the awesomeness, and you allowed Lucifer to try to organize you. The third of the angels allowed Lucifer to organize you mm-hmm. and get you kicked out of the kingdom.
Yeah.
Ain't that something? Mm. And now you're bound in chains.
Forever.
Forever.
Mm-hmm.
And so be careful about being organized. Because the authority there was established by God. As a matter of fact, the authority there is God.
Mm-hmm.
And Romans 13:1-5 says, all authority that is established by God.
That's right.
And those who organized against it, organized against God.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, and this is when people, they take hostage authentic, righteous movements who was in the context of the laws. Like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., that he never left the laws. He was just saying, listen, we need to live up to the laws. He was saying, listen, pull out the Constitution. Hey, we're all created equal. We need to all have the same Bill of Civil Rights for all of us.
Exactly.
He wasn't against the law. As a matter of fact, he operated in the context of the law and took great suffrage, the people did, in that day for going within the law in the context of it, and it cost him his life at some point for somebody who was outside the law. But he stayed under the law of God, mm-hmm. and he stayed under the law of the Constitution of the United States. So you cannot take that hostage and say, this is how you do things. No, he did it right
mm-hmm.
and was treated terribly. But Jesus did everything right, and he was treated terribly. So just because we do things right don't mean we're treated terribly. But you can't say and take what Dr. King did and use that to push evil agenda on folks that's outside the Constitution, outside the law, and outside of God. That's not what Dr. King did.
Mm-mm.
Dr. King said, I'm just holding you to what's on the paper. He's talking about the Constitution.
Right.
And if you walk with him, he says, and I'm holding you, if you're going to walk with me, to what's on the paper in the Bible, didn't he?
He sure did.
You can see this on the VFN torch. So he was saying, this is who I am, based on what he's saying. This is who I am. I am a man of God. I love God. I'm dependent on God, and I'm following his ways. Secondly, I'm also an American who believes in the Constitution, and we just need to live up to what our founding fathers put down.
Mm-hmm.
So he's well within the context of now. He's not organizing people against authority. He's actually, the authority in America is the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a government by the people and for the people. And so he knew in his heart there was more people in America that had good hearts, that once they knew the injustices that were taking place,
mm-hmm.
then they would wake up and say, we need to be able to put different folks in office who believe in the Constitution, who believe in God. And he mm-hmm. was right.
Yeah.
Amazingly. I just look forward to meeting him one day in heaven and just talking to him. And just to hear Avita King, you know, Pastor Avita King, hear her talk.
It's awesome.
And I feel like, to me, you know, I just feel like vicariously when you hear her, you're hearing her heart because she loves God.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so you can't take that and compare it to somebody who's trying to destroy the Constitution and destroy the country. And, you know, it's totally different. That's not what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
We were just being rebuked by God through this apostle who was saying, you guys are unjust in D.C. and you need to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And the First Amendment says you can do that. And so that's not the same thing as what we're seeing today. And so in this Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, we're finding out that it's a Jezebelic spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have teachings. And so in these teachings, we find out when you search them and search the Word of God, that it matters what's in our heart and our mind, because when God deals with this spirit, he deals with people's motives and their thoughts. And it's shocking to me. You know, you've seen me. You're a witness, right?
Yeah.
There he goes again.
Man.
You know, there he goes again. But you really think when somebody talks about revival and loving God
him.
And listen, right?
Yeah.
Look, is this right? Look square in my face and go, let's do this. I'm like, okay, right?
Yeah.
And you're going like, oh no.
Here it comes.
But how could that be? The truth is, people can be held captive. And understand this, if you're dealing with an Ahab Jezebelic spirit, that person you're talking to, who is called by God to be in a place of authority, if their authority is seduced, they don't have authority to talk to you. So it's going to change.
Yeah.
So don't hold them. Realize that their authority has been usurped, and they first have to go back and consult with the person, man or woman, or committee or organizers who mm-hmm. actually took their authority.
Right. He's pulling her strings.
Yeah. So you got to say, you know, just go back and talk to your wife and get back with me. Or go back and talk to your children, get back to me, or go back and talk to your board and get to me, or go back and talk to your political whoever's and talk to me, you know, and come back with an answer. Or just say, you know what? Just send them. We'll just meet with them. It's so much easier. Just go ahead and meet with them. And of course, what happens when you do that, Jezebel's terrified because that she's uncovered.
Yeah.
Because she really thinks that nobody sees the fact that she's running the show.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just blinded and deceived, or he's blinded and deceived. So he just looks straight at him like, can they do this? Can your husband come out and play?
Is it okay?
Can they come out and play? Right?
Do you have permission?
Yeah. Right? Is that not? Is that true?
That's true.
That's true.
That's true.
That's not true. Yeah, right. And so, right?
Yeah. Sad to say.
Moving on. And so it matters because we don't want to be following Jezebel. We don't want to follow Ahab. We want to follow God. We don't want to follow Lucifer's principles. And we're finding out these principles are there. And you either hold to Lucifer's teachings or you hold to Jesus' teachings. You know, and it comes as an angel of light. And so when you think about it, this end time, when you look at Malachi, the prophet Malachi speaks about what's going to be like when Jesus comes back for those people who hold to his teachings. Not the ones who just say they're prophets, right?
Yeah.
Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 says this. Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. In other words, before it's totally over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is gone. It is over. Before that happens, a dreadful day of the Lord. Where the grapes of wrath are stored. Before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. This song.
Yeah.
God, this is God. Remember, Jesus, it was the Son of God talking to the church in Revelation chapter 2 when he says, Son of God said to the church at Thyatira, God will send Elijah, that's the spirit of Elijah, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, which I believe is natural and spiritual because we found out what? Jezebel's got children.
Yeah.
And Jesus has got children. God's got children, children of the light, right? Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And children of darkness, right?
Yep.
Coal and cod. No, anyway, it's an abbreviation for children of light. Kind of how I think. Anyway, so God will send Elijah and he will prepare the way. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, or else he'll smite the earth with a curse. So it's like some optional plan right here. It's not like there's two potential outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And the one outcome is when people's hearts turn to God our Father. In that, then they have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
and his body. You know, you can't love him if you don't love his body. You don't even know him if you can't love man.
That's right.
Or if you don't turn and you stay in darkness, he says, or I'll smite the earth with a curse. So the whole earth right now is when God spoke to me specifically, because we prophesied the Malachi mandate for like 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just driven. I was compelled. His brother Ken used to say, compelled means God's spirit's got you by the scruff of the neck and he's forcing, right?
Yeah.
We're like, it's like prophesying, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we shouted so loud,
mm-hmm.
Malachi prophecy and the spirit of Elijah that the world heard.
Yeah.
You know, and they started naming months after that and all the way to from America to India to governors changing their speeches.
Mm-hmm.
And just because it was just God was speaking. But what happened was, you know, God just showed up in my... His presence showed up in my office, and it was a powerful encounter with God at one point. And I got to tell you about that in a moment. He showed up just powerfully in my office and shifted us in this Malachi mandate, because we're talking about, or else I'll hit the earth, we stricken with a curse.
All right.
I'll tell you about it in just a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Every man needs to hear encouraging words from his wife. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. Here's Kathy Lipp explaining how important affirming words can be.
I think that affirming your husband can change the way he walks through the world. It can change his posture. It can change how he approaches other people. When he knows that his wife is at work or at home praying for him, has got his back, and believes in him, it changes the way he parents, because he parents with confidence now, knowing that he has somebody on his side. He can walk into work saying, you know what, work was terrible today, but I get to go home to somebody who cares about me, even if somebody here doesn't.
Your spoken praise, appreciation, and prayers play a vital role in helping your husband. For more trusted advice to help your relationship thrive, visit focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
Have you ever found yourself just wondering who to talk to? Wondering if there's anybody real? You've tried everything. You've looked to every relationship. Find yourself possibly, you know, being an addict, run through every door, every opportunity, and it seems like all your doors are closing. It seems like everywhere you're going, it's just, you turn and you end up in the exact same place. And I relate to you, because that's exactly where I was. I had nobody to turn to, or at least I thought I didn't. I tried everything, and I felt all alone. I felt that there was nowhere else to go, that I could not find the very reason that my life was. I couldn't find my purpose. And I want to encourage you that there is a place to reach out to. And you can reach out to Jesus Christ. That he is real. And if you feel that God can't use you, I want to share truth with you that he can. And he wants nothing more than to spend time with you and have a relationship with you. And you can check out the stories and read the stories of other people who are in situations like you, or possibly in worse or just different situations than you. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out your heavenly father that wants nothing more than to know you. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFN TV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging, is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com, and you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link, and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the Daily VFN Radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFN TV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat. We're talking about organizing. We're finding out that this Rules for Radicals, the author of it, was actually the employer of our president, and he taught in Organizing 101. And we're going to find out a little bit in a moment that hopefully we get a chance to talk about it, is that Hillary Clinton, the former Secretary of State, wrote her thesis when she graduated from her university. We'll talk more about it. Mm-hmm. Is she wrote it on Saul Alinsky. Wow. And when her husband got voted as president, they sealed the document that really? Nobody could see it.
Did they?
Yes. But first, let's just find out what was being said on. I saw this on YouTube. They have it there that Fox News is talking about this very thing. So we're going to understand Saul Alinsky, Lucifer's dark secrets. When you think about it, for pushing against what God has established. Listen up. This is the O'Reilly, I think, talking.
In the Barack in a Hard Place segment tonight, the name Saul Alinsky keeps popping up in the presidential campaign. He was a far-left social activist based in Chicago who died in 1972, but not before leaving all kinds of strategies for radical Americans. In fact, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton wrote her college thesis on Alinsky and his organizing plan. Now, yesterday, Fox News White House correspondent Ed Henry asked this question.
Newt Gingrich keeps saying on the campaign trail that the president's vision comes from Saul Alinsky, the community organizer. I haven't heard you asked about that.
Look, the president's background as a community organizer is well documented in the president's own books. So his experience in that field obviously contributed to who he is today, but his experience is a broad based one.
What? With us now, Monica Crowley and Alan Cohen. All right, I don't know what question he was answering there. Look, Saul Alinsky, you know, for people who are involved in political science, and there he is. This guy, you know, is in the great tradition of Karl Marx, Lenin.
Not really.
People, well, he even said he admired those men, okay? He said it in his writings, that he admired them, and that he didn't respect private property rights. He thought that everybody should be guaranteed a certain style of life, and he worked toward that in a very aggressive way. But my question is this. Is it fair for Newt Gingrich to inject Saul Alinsky into the election?
Well, it's fair. I mean, he can say whatever he wants, but, you know, talking about a guy who's been dead for 40 years and trying to tie it to Obama because he wrote a book called Rules for Radicals in 1971, right. Therefore Obama's a radical. And we played that game 4 years ago. It didn't seem to get Republicans elected. We played the game trying to tie President Obama to Bill Ayers, to Reverend Wright, to Saul Alinsky. Are we going to refight the 2008 race?
I mean, it didn't work
last time.
But now with President Obama being so devoted to big government, so devoted to income redistribution, income equality, then, see, back then we didn't know what we were getting with the president. All right, so it was harder to make the case that he was a radical or he admired radicals. Now it's a little easier to make that case.
I would disagree that he is married to this idea. I believe the Republicans have misstated that he wants equal outcomes. The president, by the way, the stimulus package, you went through the numbers before, 40% of that were tax cuts. Part of the reason the deficit's gone up so much is 40% of that package were the very thing Republicans and big business say they want. They want tax credits and tax cuts. This isn't big government. This is actually giving tax money back. That's 40% of what the president did in the stimulus package.
But even President Obama would admit, and I think he's going to say it again tonight, that the federal government, in his opinion, has a tremendous role in capitalism, in ensuring an outcome for American workers. And that's what Alinsky wanted.
I think that's a fair... Well, you want to tie him to everything Alinsky. Alinsky was more of an organizer and a tactical guy that William Buckley said was a genius in organizing, by the way. It was more about tactics to help the disempowered become empowered versus Machiavelli, which is what I think Republicans use to keep the people empowered to keep power. And so we're talking about very different
points of
view.
Let's keep in mind who Saul Alinsky was and how he directly influenced Barack Obama. Saul Alinsky wrote Rules for Radicals in 71 and dedicated it to Lucifer. He was the godfather of the leftist. Yes,
it wasn't Satan. Lucifer.
I'm not making it up.
Okay.
Lucifer.
It wasn't Lucifer Schwartz.
No.
It was just Lucifer.
I don't think Lucifer's a Jewish name.
It wasn't Murray Lucifer Schwartz. No. He dedicated it to Lucifer. This is the godfather of the leftist movement. Barack Obama, and it came out of Chicago. Barack Obama, when he got to the University of Chicago, actually taught Alinsky 101 as a course there. So let's not try to say.
Is that what it was called?
It was basically called Alinsky Tactics 101. Barack Obama actually taught. But keep in mind the broader point about Alinsky, and this is why your point about Obama now having a record that we can marry to his philosophy and the tactics of Saul Alinsky, this is where it's so important. Alinsky talked about organizing minorities and other groups to articulate their grievances, mobilize on their grievances,
right,
which the community organizer like Barack Obama helpfully supplied to them so that they would mobilize against the establishment, the haves versus the have-nots.
What's wrong with poor people and people who are not getting what they think they should get? All right, for whatever reason, organizing and having a voice. What's wrong with that?
But remember, this is the very essence of socialism. This is the tactics of Saul Alinsky and Barack Obama are geared toward wealth redistribution. It's all in service of that goal rather than in the free market goal.
Look, Alinsky didn't respect private property. And that is
but
that
remember,
is the
Bill, problem, remember, this is what Occupy Wall Street is all about. This is the same revolution.
Okay.
We're talking about Obama has.
So you think about it. I mean, that's not us saying. This is them talking about it early on right. Fox News was reporting on it. And so that's what you have. And is it, you know, what's the big deal about it? He taught the tactics. So the tactics that we're talking about, which are, like you said, the big deal, it's dedicated to Lucifer.
Right.
You know, and so it's not, we're talking about a Christian perspective. You know, governments come, governments go. The only thing that's forever is the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And so we're not talking from a political perspective. We're just saying as the church, we got to be vigilant and hopeful. And we can only do that in the light in what's going on. And if we follow the teachings and hold to the teachings of someone who says they're doing something for God, but in their heart, their motives are Lucifer's motives to push mm-hmm. against established authority and the establishment, as they just said it, mm-hmm. then we're going to suffer in the same bed of suffering as Jezebel's going to end up, who didn't repent.
That's right.
And a bed of suffering doesn't sound like a mansion on a gold street. You know what I'm saying? Right. It doesn't sound good. And uh-huh. he is talking to the church. And so those tactics that he was, that if he's teaching Alinsky's tactics for 4 years, our president is, that's pretty significant because he's teaching manipulation. He's teaching lying. He's teaching how to, you know, one of the rules are, you know, the first tactic is power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Mm-hmm. So you present a front. It's to go out, don't go outside your own personal experiences with your crew, because they'll get lost, confused, and everything. But take the ones that you're trying to push against, take the leadership outside of their experiences so that your husband, mm-hmm. your parents, your president, your governor, your teacher, your leaders in your communities outside of their experience, so they're confused and they're retreating. And, you know, that's not good. Mm-mm. That's not a good tactic. He taught this tactic. And then, you know, then make your enemy live up to their own rules. Well, we're going to talk about that. But this is things that he was teaching if he's teaching the Alinsky's things. Also, that ridicule is man's most potent weapon. This is what he's teaching, ridicule. I mean, think about it, because it makes sense. This helps you really make sense to what's been happening for the last whatever. It's like, oh, this is Saul Alinsky. This is the spirit of Saul Alinsky.
Right.
Who dedicated these techniques and gave a shout out to the first one that did his techniques, which was Lucifer. And now you're understanding why all of a sudden, you know, you're seeing Israel ridiculed. And you're seeing these things, statements happen, right? Mm-hmm. Your people, some of the other rules that your people have short attention span. You have to keep them moving all the time. Go from this problem, this issue, that issue, this issue. They won't stay stuck on anything at one time. Keep the pressure on is one thing you teach. That's the eighth one. The third thing is the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself, which means don't sit here and say it's over just because the children of Saul Alinsky are saying it's over. Mm-hmm. You know, the ones that are holding to his teachings,
right.
Just realize that, oh, you're just threatening. Because that makes no constitutional sense. And there's enough good people in the country that follow God and follow the Constitution that we just got to walk this thing through and don't say it's over, because the threat, they'll make you think like that you're going to lose your First Amendment rights or your Second Amendment rights, or that the Constitution's going to go. Mm-hmm. And the threat of that. Develop an operating system was the 10th one, the tactic that he taught. Was reportedly mm-hmm. that to keep the pressure on. So in other words, create things in your organization that keeps the pressure on. I don't know. Let's just create this mass government that's going to put this pressure on. And to me, I think it's like a Jehoiakim situation, right. Because the church is in rebellion, which means we can leave rebellion and repent, and then God lets up. At least let's help you understand what's going on. And then to push the negatives as hard as you can. Mm-hmm. Your price of success, you have to have an alternative. We're finding out all these alternatives are not even alternatives at all. They don't even work. For example, the healthcare thing that just started crashed, but you had to have something out there to be able to organize and to do these kind of things that are going on. And then you have to pick a target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it.
Right.
And that's what's going on. So these are the tactics. And so we're looking at, these are like tactics that are dedicated to, think Lucifer. I mean, think about it. And so what do we do as believers? If we just trust God, you know, we operate in the Constitution of the Bible, no matter what country we're in. That's how we can all connect around the world, because we have one King, mm-hmm. King Jesus.
Yeah.
And Moses said, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go, because the only thing that differentiates us from anybody else is your presence. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference about us. The presence of God is with us. And what happens is, when the church loses the presence of God and the power of God, they have two choices. We have two choices. We can repent, humble ourselves, and turn back to God, where God comes close to us again, mm-hmm. and the fullness of his presence is with us, and all that happens because of his awesomeness. Or we can get into forms of physical manipulation and verbal manipulation and all the tactics of Lucifer. Mm-hmm. We can do things in the flesh.
Right.
We can begin in the spirit, and end up in the flesh. But Paul said this, and we're getting to the tactics, I know, but we're getting this foundation because we've been talking a lot about this stuff.
Yeah.
That when we have a light perspective, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, so it was with me, brothers and sisters, as he's talking to the church, when I came to you, I did not come to you with eloquence of with being real eloquent in the way that he was talking, or human wisdom. He came with no organized effort.
Right.
As I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. Think about it. My message and my preaching were not with wise or even persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith would not be in your ability to organize
mm-hmm.
or my ability to speak, but in God himself. He says, so that your faith might not rest in human wisdom, and that's human wisdom, but on God's power. Because he tells us in 1 Corinthians 4:20, he says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of all this talk stuff. It's a matter of power,
mm-hmm.
the power of God. And so signs are supposed to be with us and follow us. He tells us in Mark 16:17 through 20, he says, and these signs, this power, will follow those that believe. In other words, that's what's different about us, is the presence of God, not our ability to manipulate and force our agendas. And what are we doing? We're like following, holding on to the teachings of Lucifer, the mm-hmm. teachings, dark secrets of Lucifer, the teachings of Saul Alinsky. We're trying to make it happen ourselves, which is literally organizing against God.
Right.
And he says, this is what he says, and these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. This is Jesus, the Son of God, who dealt with Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2. He says, and these signs will follow those who believe. You will drive out demons. You will speak in new tongues. You will pick up the snakes, and they won't harm you. You will drink deadly poison, and it won't hurt you either. And you will place your hands on the sick, and they will recover, and they will get well. The power of God, and God worked with them, confirming his word.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. We preach the gospel. God shows up in the power of God, and people meet God, not our ability or organizations. And it's like, understand, the greatest deception in the last day is going to be this Jezebelic deception that people have the ability to force behavior out of people,
mm-hmm.
to hold true authority hostage, to shame it, to criticize it, to ridicule it, to push, to nudge it. But it doesn't matter. If Ahab's still the king, your responsibility before God is to find Ahab and do what Ahab's saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for you to listen to Jezebel now, because she's the dominant one.
Right.
And it's not a gender, but that's the analogy that's being used right there. But when there's no power and there's no presence, the church turns either to God in repentance and humility, seeking the face of God, or we turn to ourselves and the dark secrets of Lucifer. And what we just heard, America just turned to government.
Yeah.
And somebody has the ability to force, I'm going to go outside your representative government, outside your constitution. And I'm going to go to the people, and I'm going to organize the people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to force you guys in leadership, your representatives of the people. When somebody says, I'm not going to listen to Congress, they're saying they're not going to listen to you. That's your representative government.
Right.
That's almost the purest representation that we have in our government of you, because there's a whole bunch of them there that represent broken down parts of your state.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to the Senate, that's only two folks. It's only two persons. So when you're battling between the Congress and the Senate, you have two people fighting against multitudes of people.
Yeah.
And you have 35 congressmen in your state, for example, and two senators. So you have 35 saying, this is wrong,
mm-hmm.
which means that represents you really well.
Yeah.
And you have two people in your state going, yeah, but we're being pushed here, nudged here, and manipulated and organized against. And now what do you have? It's like, listen to Congress. Congress mm-hmm. is your representative government. Listen to God over it all, but realize you sent them there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're here in Congress, you're pretty much here in the heart of what's happening in your particular community right there. When we get back from this break, we're going to get into the next tactic, because now we're understanding, oh my goodness, this is like dark secrets of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what was written down. These are like the rule book. And the reason why he dedicated, I believe, to Lucifer is because you can actually manipulate behavior with this. But the problem is, you and the one that you're manipulating, unless the one you're manipulating repents, are going to end up in hell.
Mm.
At least the same bed of suffering as Jezebel. We'll be back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
So what's up? What's up? You know, I was listening to VFN Radio, and I just noticed that there was just such a all over the place with your emotions and things, because, you know, first I know that Chris had gotten got him a little dog for the family, mm-hmm. a little cute little pug or something.
Mm-hmm. Being nice for his daughter.
Yeah. You know? And some reason I remember hearing something like, "I can't believe you got a dog," something like that.
And then, that wasn't me.
And then as I fast forwarded through the VFM radio segment to hear what's going on, I can't believe that he talked about a pug like that.
Exactly.
And then the next thing I hear the next day is like, I just had to have one. And it was like jealousy. It was jealousy. That's what it was. All the other stuff was jealousy. I want a pug. And what he really didn't want a pug. He just wanted what his brother had. You remember that old time battle stuff? So now he has one. Now he has one, and I'm just praying for the pug. You know, he's doing things like what dogs do.
Normal functions.
Do. At least it's little. I mean, if it was a max, it'd be like, somebody move Everest out of here. And now I understand that I was looking on the adoption papers, and Mojo Samson, whoa, whatever the dog's name is, pug, you know, is up for adoption. 20, 25 cents. And he comes with a collar and a shots.
That's right.
No, that's, I don't know if it's true or not, but
it could be.
It could be.
Oh, man. All this, he was cute at first. Those all, and you should see him. He was cooing. I was getting pictures of this dog. I mean, he was blowing up my phone.
Yeah, same here, man.
I had him on his lap, on his chest, on his neck. Then I saw this bag. I said, wait a minute. He is not. No. He's driving with the dog hanging out the window. No. Wait a minute. What is
bags are packed.
Yeah. And the whole thing is, it's like, it's the ugliest dog I've ever seen in my life.
I wouldn't have gone to your brains.
It was like, dang, got some big eyes on the thing, you know? And he has it on his shoulder. He sends it pictures to us. It's sitting on his shoulder, sitting on his dash. I don't know. It's sitting all over the place. And now I think it's pooing all over the place, and he wants it to go. But it's like, it's sort of like, you know, it's like, hey, honey, we just want to have children, you know? And then you say, let's have a child. They have a child. It's like, the baby's pooing. It's like, we got to get rid of the baby. He's like, no. We can handle this. We can train this child. We don't have to get rid of it. We can conquer this. We can conquer this thing. We'll have to train them. And, there's a dog training school right close by.
There is? Yes.
How long? By your place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So He sprayed me when I went there. Yeah, he did.
Really?
The person teaches.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It was intense.
You weren't listening.
He knew the alpha dog wasn't around. Right. But it was like rude. Anyway, so John was there with this little 2-ounce thing.
Right.
It was so funny, right? Like, Max is like, bloom, 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 jumping stuff and ticka ticka. What was your dog?
Oh, she did it.
Coco.
She did it.
Coco, yeah.
Proud of Coco.
That was so cute, you know? And but it did the thing. It was just like, tickle, tickle, tickle. Like, I don't know. It was just so, almost like it wasn't touching the floor. It was so light. Yeah, the dog was so light. And it was amazing. Totally amazing. And it's just time for you to go to school.
That's it.
Time for you to go to school.
I put some Caesar moves on him the other day.
Oh my goodness, it's a pug.
It's a little thing.
You gotta teach him while they're young.
Oh my goodness. Is he limping or anything?
No, he's good. He's good.
He could do that like claw thing.
Oh no.
Oh, he did.
Great. Now the pug is traumatized. Now,
I know, man.
Hey, work for Holly. She's very obedient.
Yeah,
dog.
We see how she said poor the Holly.
She ran from the pug. She ran, and the pug was up to its toenail.
Not anymore.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She had enough.
Oh, wow.
She was being gentle. Now she's like, she just looks at him. He's like, on his back. So that's a submissive thing.
Everybody's hating on the pug now.
Wow.
I'm just so sad. It was totally fine. And now,
he got comfortable. He's got an attitude now.
Oh, my
God. You got to deal with that.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
Well, PETA, I just want to say.
Yeah, Samson, we're praying for you. Okay? Yeah.
Is that his name this week, Samson?
This week. I don't know. Tomorrow, I don't know.
I'm sure there's a few other adjectives they probably describe. Get that dog out of here.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat. I just want you to know that we are committing to organizing for pugs. We're going to have an organization where we can organize and have a movement.
Yes.
To be able to help this poor little dog that's obviously having a lot of movements around
the house.
They
can have movements as long as they're outside. Which he does now.
He had his own little movement going on.
Oh, huh? Yeah.
We're continuing the conversation here, picking up, and we're going to go into the fourth tactic. Believe it or not, we're going to hit the fourth tactic today and give what is the light perspective of that. Before we do that, it's so important because we found out that two children, if you would, of Saul Alinsky is President Barack Obama. It's Barack Obama back then. It wasn't when he was president, but back then.
Right.
And Hillary Clinton. As a matter of fact, the Chicago connection talks about it in a particular article written in March the 2nd, 2008. And you can actually see the article on the VFN Torch by Richard Pro. He writes about the Alinsky crowning achievement was his recruitment of a young high school student named Hillary Rodham, which is Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
She met Alinsky through radical church group. So in the church, right?
Church
sounds
group.
Like Revelation chapter 2, wow. Right? Mm-hmm. In the church. Hillary wrote wrote an analysis of the methods of Alinsky in the Wesley College. What she did was she wrote a thesis. Her thesis was written, and the thesis that she wrote was entitled, we have this thesis here, "There is Only the Fight, an Analysis of Alinsky Model."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when she graduate from her university,
mm-hmm.
she wrote about the ones whose teaching that she was holding on to. I mean, you can see this right there on Wikipedia. We'll make it also available to you on the VFN Torch. So we're just trying to learn, you know, what spirit are you of?
Mm-hmm.
And we as the church, you know, God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need to understand, and we do not need to kick into those kind of modes, but we just, and don't try to control anybody either, because you're doing the same thing somebody else is doing. Just realize, wow, you know. And you start saying, well, I think we need to get in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And so when her husband became elected as president, President Bill Clinton, they had those, you ever heard like court records being sealed?
Mm-hmm.
They had her thesis sealed. The college, you know, I wish my college papers were sealed. Emma, you think about it.
Right.
They sealed her thesis.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was entitled, "There Is Only the Fight, an Analysis of Lucifer's Concept of Organizing."
Mm-hmm.
No, it says, "There Is Only the Fight, an Analysis of the Alinsky Model." It's all coming together right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you could think about it. These are two children, if you would, based on spiritually speaking, whose teachings you're holding onto. That's whose child you are. That's how God sees it. If you hold to Jesus' teaching, then you're his. If you hold to Lucifer's teaching and all the folks that come in as angels of light, you know, mm-hmm. in this case it was Jezebel, but mm-hmm. it's still Lucifer's teaching, his dark secrets, mm-hmm. even though the name Jezebel was there, then you are Lucifer's child. Yes, but it boils down to. And so in the context of that, then when these two were running against each other in the election, now you look back, it kind of gives you some insight because they had a, these are two friends that have known each other for quite for years in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not knowing this. We're just knowing this now.
Right.
And this is just a conversation like we're understanding. And so what you have when they're both running, you have two friends that are both Alinsky's children running against each other.
Yeah.
Who is dedicated to Lucifer mm-hmm. methodology to be able to organize. He taught it. She wrote a thesis on it.
Yeah.
He taught it for 4 years. He was an organizer. He taught it. So he was actually like the, probably the child that Alinsky would have appreciated the most.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it doesn't make, it's not crazy sense for Bill Ayers to go meet with him when he kicks off his campaign, because Bill Ayers is a community, was a community organizer. And that just all makes sense. Like, oh, this is Alinsky's children. These are children. These are people that hold to Alinsky's teachings.
Mm-hmm.
Jezebel's children. And so just because Jezebel says that she's a prophet, or he says that she's a prophet, and they're speaking to God, listen, they're going to say whatever God to say. Mm-hmm. But they're not truly. They're actually angels of darkness, not angels of light. They're masquerading, as right. it appears. And so we're finding out, oh my goodness. And so we got to pay attention here, because God's going to judge the church based on, did we follow Jesus or did we follow Lucifer? And it comes in a lot of different names. And so these tactics we've been talking about, that's how important it is. It's so important, because that is where we're going to be judged. Mm-hmm. And he's talking to the church, not the world. And so, and they said, and you can see the article that I just read from in Chicago when young Hillary Rodham, now Clinton, was in a church, a radical church group, then Alinsky came in, Lucifer's child comes in,
right.
and takes this young girl and begins to, and he even says in the article that he tried to hire her up. Instead, she went to college instead. But she wrote a paper. She was so connected, she wrote a paper on the concept.
Mm-hmm.
But the paper was so radical that when her husband, who, by the way, she located when he was a governor of Arkansas, when she was in that law firm.
Mm-hmm.
And she saw this governor down there who was a conservative, from reports that when he first ran for governor and he was governor, but he did the right things, within God and country and those mm-hmm. type of, you know, beliefs. But then when he started making those kind of decisions when he was in office, you know, then he didn't get reelected.
All right.
And that's when, you know, when people don't keep you as their pastor, it doesn't mean that you're wrong. It could mean that you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to follow the teachings of Lucifer. A lot of people at that point say, I need to adjust the gospel. I need to adjust what I'm saying. And that's the point where they met up, and she saw this governor down in Arkansas. And so she began to have a relationship with him, and eventually kept her name, but went down there and started helping him in politics. And he changed. It's all with the kind of the timelines are overlapping here, but
mm-hmm.
he changed his doctrine.
Right.
He changed his viewpoints, and he had become, it looks like what we're seeing now, potentially another follower, or one that holds to Alinsky's child.
Mm-hmm.
These are Alinsky's children.
Yeah.
These are Saul's children. Think about it. It's all making sense.
Wow.
It's Jezebel. And by the way, they can do whatever they want to. Everybody, God honored everybody's decision. The thing is, what are you doing? Are you following God? Or are you following Lucifer? Right?
That's
you're following
right.
light, you're following darkness. So we're going to go to the fourth tactic. The fourth tactic that we found out now that our president was teaching on the payroll, which I don't know if it's on the payroll or not, but he was teaching for, as he was hired by, Saul Alinsky.
Mm-hmm.
was the fourth tactic. He taught these tactics, what they said, right? They just said it on Fox News. The tactic was, this is the fourth tactic, make the enemy live up to its own book of the rules. This is the tactic. Make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. He goes on to say, and this is from the book Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, you can kill them this way, for they can no more obey their own rules then the Christian church can live up to Christianity.
Hmm.
This is what he taught. This is what our president taught.
Wow.
And he can do that. And the First Amendment says, right now, I can say this. This is the fourth tactic. The book dedicated to Lucifer. The fourth tactic is make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. He says, you can kill them. You can kill them with this, for they can no more obey their own rules than the Christian church can live up to Christianity. So in other words, Alinsky's saying Christians aren't real. Christ is not real. Mm-hmm. This whole walking in God's not real. And he brings in and says, aha, that's how we'll kill them. We'll kill them by the letter of the law. Mm. We'll kill them. This is what he's teaching. Wow. And so now you're actually seeing the push, the nudge, the lie, the other things that are going on. And it's like, and if you fall prey to works, you're going to go down, because they're absolutely right in regards to that. Because in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 through 13, he says, clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. Clearly no one who relies on the law is justified by God, because we're justified by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Christ, Jesus Christ, and he said Christianity, Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every man that hung on a tree, hung on the pole. Mm-hmm. Understand this, 1 Corinthians 15:56, the sting of death is sin, but the power of sin is the law. And Paul speaks about this struggle in Romans chapter 7. He says, I find out there's something happening in me that when I want to do good, I end up doing evil. When I have these great intentions, I think it's, and then he says, well, therefore, you know, I thank God for the word of God. I thank God for the law, because it lets me know when I am sinning. Listen, the word of God is not for us to walk a righteous walk in the word of God. The word of God is to let us know when we're sinning, to turn to God, who will empower us to walk humbly before him and totally dependent on him. You are not saved by the law. Romans 8, 2 through 4 says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order for the righteous requirements of the law to be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the flesh. Listen, America was founded on the word of God, one nation under God. This fourth tactic is about causing you to look at the letter of the law, and the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. You have to preach Jesus in the cross and him crucified, and not sit there and start preaching the principles in the kingdom word to somebody who don't even know God. Mm-hmm. The fourth tactic will work on a religious church. It'll work on a religious church, but it won't work on a man who's totally dependent on the finished and complete work of the cross and abides with God and stays in the word of God, because he knows outside of that, he'll be walking in darkness. The fourth tactic is make the enemy live up to its own book of the rules, and you can kill them with this, for they can no longer obey their own. They can not only obey their own rules no more than Christian church can obey Christianity. That's not true. You can, through the power of what the finished work of the cross of Christ. We'll talk more about this on tomorrow's program. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.